Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, you've had a horrific weekend trying to finish up Gotham Knights. Now, you'd messaged me and said this might have one of the worst back thirds of all time and some of the worst boss fights of all time. It's not good.
It brings me no joy to say this because we did a review in progress last week where we were actually more positive on the game than I thought we were going to be.
I haven't seen what you've seen yet either. I'm still positive, but I'm at the beginning, so I don't know.
Scott's playing another little game called God of War Ragnarok. You may
I
have not been playing that. I've put in 30 hours or so of Gotham Knights, and yes, in that previous review in progress, we talked about, you know, there being positives in there, that there being a lot of ambition, and there being potential things to look forward to. And I will admit that after we filmed that review in progress, I did get into a nice swing with the game. The middle portion of Gotham Knights is surprisingly good. There are a lot of interesting side missions to take on. There's a lot of creativity in the kind of like visuals of the mission design. A lot of really spectacular superhero moments, Scott Tilford. The issue is, that's only the middle part. And the back third kind of feels like WB Montreal just ran out of time and slapdashed a bunch of things together, because things really started falling apart for me in terms of the boss fights, in terms of the repetition of the game design, and a completely lackluster final level. I don't know what you want to talk about first, because we've talked about this at length off camera, but I just kind of want to jump into it.
And on mic, we'll massively shout out to the What Culture Gaming podcast. Me and Josh do a Monday show called The Wind Up, where we dove into this as our initial thoughts at the start of the day. Before we thought we'd do a little follow-up in video form, just as an addendum to the video that we put out last time, because you have actually seen the entire game now. But yeah, the things that you mentioned to me was the fact that they reuse boss fights, which I don't necessarily want to focus on, but I feel like that sort of points to the reality of the development that they had.
Yeah.
And it feels like the beginning of the game is way stronger, and it gets just worse the more you play. The thing that we haven't talked about that much is the UI. I saw Forbes did a whole thing about how it has one of the worst UIs of all time, if not the year. And I just, like, the overall feel of Gotham Knights is like seven different game design ethoses fighting for dominance, let's say.
Yeah.
And does it just feel like the overall feel of the game just gets messier as you go on?
I would say so. You know, going to the boss fights that you mentioned there, So for context, there is this one really spectacular side mission in the game where you're hunting down Mr. Freeze. It's actually the very first footage we saw from Gotham Knights. The first gameplay demo was from this mission. And essentially, you're going up this big tower that's been completely frozen by Mr. Freeze's machines. There are lightning storms going off. It looks and feels awesome.
20 FPS.
And that's right in the middle of the game. And what you get for a final mission, or at least the precursor to the final mission, is the same sub-boss repeated five times. And this is when I kind of realized that they were running out of steam, because at the end of one of the last missions, you fight this boss that kind of comes out of nowhere in a really cool environment. I won't spoil which, obviously. And it's really exciting. It's really cool. But the issue is, as soon as you beat that boss, to progress in the story, they say, go out into the open world and beat that boss three more times. Go track them down and beat them. And the issue is,
I thought we were past this.
And it feels arbitrary, and even worse, the boss fight itself doesn't change every time you fight it. It's literally like the same boss fight three times. And then to add insult to injury, when you do go into the final mission, you fight the sub-boss again. So you fight it a total of five times in the space of like 1 hour. And that final mission as well, it's nowhere near as spectacular as that Mr. Freeze fight. Again, without giving too much away, it's quite a bland area. You're fighting the same three enemies over and over again. It doesn't have the same creativity. And stuff like that, that in the back third, of which there is a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of kind of road blocking, a lot of go out and complete an arbitrary number of interrogations before we can complete the story. It just feels like they ran out of time. It feels like they hobbled over the finish line. And like I said, that's such a shame, because you were onto something in the middle of this game, and I just thought it was worth flagging that, you know, the more time you put into this game, the more it's cracks show. And I want to talk more about boss fights in a second, but I'll let you speak.
No, that's the general sort of point of this video, is that like the video that we put out in the first place was the first sort of 5-6 hours on my part, and I think the first 3 or 4 necessarily for you, you're still kind of finding your footing in it. And like, I think it puts a really good foot forward. And I'm still really enjoying as much as I've played, but I've not seen the second half or the back third as that you have. But I do think it's interesting that there are recommendable elements in there, like the character writing or the fact that you kind of have a full protagonist approach to a story, that the overall thing is a mystery-based story anyway. It seems like they had a good idea here. There is a soul here that wasn't really in Anthem or Avengers or you know, insert X other failed thing here. But what was it over time where you were just like, oh God, this is getting worse?
I'll tell you what it was. Very specifically, I've just mentioned that Mr. Freeze fight, and it was no accident, because that level is awesome. But at the end of it, you actually fight Mr. Freeze, and it's one of the worst balanced single player boss fights I've experienced in some time. We said in our initial first impressions of the game that it actually caters quite well if you just want to play Gotham Knights as a single player. Like, you have co-op as an option, but you don't have to. The game doesn't feel unbalanced if you're just playing it solo. And I still agree with that, with the exception of these boss fights, because they are so clearly designed for two people that it is such a slog to get through on your own. And you could say, Josh, well, they're not designed for you. You should bring a co-op partner. And that would be fine if the game flagged it. But the rest of those missions are completely fine if you're playing on your own. You don't have these roadblocks. You don't have these hurdles. But the boss fights themselves seem designed to just frustrate one player. And they don't seem balanced at all, and I was just not having fun. I was going at these boss fights, by the way, like over leveled, so I shouldn't have been having as bad of a time as I was, and I didn't hit a difficulty spike like this in the rest of the game. But just like the moves that the boss is throwing out, you know, they have these long-winded multi-combo attacks, they have these huge health bars that you're just whittling down over and over again to the point where it's a battle of attrition, and they have a bunch of stages, which is quite cool, but the issue is you only get a select amount of health packs if you're playing solo, and with every stage of the boss that you go through, those don't replenish, so you could get through one stage, have no health packs, and just kind of make a tactical choice to die, because then at least because then you will respawn with health packs that you will need to get through to the next phase. And it's just, it's such a shame, because they get so much right on the single player front in every other area. It's just these very specific boss fights, and they should be spectacular kind of caps to these great missions, but unfortunately, with this game, ironically, it's a tale of two cities every single time.
We should talk about the fact that, you know, overall, they were like, this game's going to work as a single-player experience. If you don't want to do multiplayer or co-op stuff, you don't have to. But that's the whole thing. I mean, even the way the multiplayer is implemented, which kind of goes alongside the whole conversation on the UI and the way that even missions are presented, which we should talk about as well, they've sort of gone back and forward on... I mean, a lot of people thought this was a four-person loot game, because it's the way that it's come across as having four main characters. And then it is lots of co-op stuff. But then it is also a single player story, because you have, you know, any cutscene that you do in the game only addresses one character at a time, which means that various scenes don't even make any sense anyway, because maybe one character's been through something that then isn't addressed in the follow-up scene with someone else. Or whatever. Things like that, I feel like just, it's kind of just, like I said, it's like seven different design ethos and various different marketing attempts to get this across, all falling apart at the last hurdle, not really coalescing in the final product.
Yeah.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat,
all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
But yeah, let's talk about like UI stuff and menu stuff, because I feel like they did a villains trailer. You know, if you've watched the trailers, then you'll know that Harley Quinn, Clayface, and Mr. Freeze are your three main villains out there, alongside the Court of Owls, which are kind of underneath everything else.
Yes.
Literally and in the game. But I feel like the way that they present those missions, you were saying before recording that it's like you kind of almost don't realize how to get them.
Yeah. They're
kind of buried in the pause menu, but the game's also telling you to go check the evidence board, and there's also a shortcut on the evidence board back onto the pause menu.
That's it.
To let you trigger the mission itself. But you can also go to a point in the open world and find it too. So it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it's just a little bit more obtuse than it needs to be. You know, I'm actually a fan of the idea that you have to go back to the Belfry after the end of every night to kind of change your gear. It makes each night feel distinct and gives each one a bigger significance, because you want to get those crimes done before they disappear. However, yeah, if you're following a thread like Harley's side quest, you know, at a certain point, you can only activate that side quest from the Belfry. So you have to go back there, you have to go into a menu, and then you have to launch the side quest.
Yep.
And it's just such a strange way to do it, because, like I said, some of those side missions are the most visually spectacular and most memorable parts of the game, because it does change the landscape depending on who you're fighting, and things happen in the open world. But not incorporating those missions organically into the open world and having... Mm-hmm. You execute them from a menu in the Belfry makes them feel like entirely disconnected. It makes it feel like the Avengers, where you're selecting a mission from the menu and then you're jumping in, which is strange You've got a sandbox there that could be changing, that could be, you know, throwing up these side missions more organically. And it just feels like a missed opportunity to mesh the two worlds, and it just makes it more cumbersome than it should be. And that's, of course, on top of the loot system, which is an absolute nightmare to navigate if you're just trying to craft something or change your loadout.
It's a weird thing, because I feel like the first impressions that we got from this game, and the thing, like I said, the foot that it puts forward is this really enticing. Then the game opens on a 10-minute cutscene. You get this whole depiction of what's happening in Gotham, what's happening with really cool key characters, and then you pivot over to the four main Gotham Knights that you're going to be continuing with. And the way the table is set at the beginning, I thought was really, really fascinating. And then that's backed up by the way that all the characters are written. I think there's really a nice amount of depth there. And like Gotham itself, I don't even mind the Bat Bike that much. I just love the idea of a Bat Bike to get me around. But overall, I feel like it puts a really strong foot forward, and then it's almost like, okay, we've set the table, we've set it in motion, and that's kind of all we've got.
Yeah.
And then over time, that just sort of peters out, where the various things that you were putting up with, like the way that mod chips and transmogrifying your costumes and everything, the way that the kind of messy way that they were introduced at the beginning, you kind of go, well, it's, if we're pie charting it, then the story stuff, the character stuff is a really meaningful part of that pie, so I'm going to focus on those things. But if those things don't pay off, then all you have left is all the messy stuff,
yeah.
And then it all just kind of collapses under its own weight.
That's kind of it, you know. I think at a certain certain point, about 20 hours into the game, the developers just went all Ian Beale and were like, I've got nothing left and I don't know where to go from here. Because like you said, you know, when we first did our early impressions, I was kind of positive. I was like down here.
Yeah.
And then I got into a nice swing of it and I kind of was like, ooh, maybe this game is even better than I thought it was going to be. And then I got to those frustrations and then the frustrations just kind of like blocked out the good parts. And then it kind of tanked for me towards the end. As always, Gotham Knights continues to be a complete mixed bag of everything. There's so much in there to enjoy, but there's so much stuff that you've got to put up with. And I just kind of, I know this game was already delayed a year. It was supposed to come out last year. Obviously, you know, issues like COVID, you can't help that. Like, that's just issues that everyone has been dealing with. But I wonder what this would have looked like if it had another year of polish. I know that was probably untenable, but there's a great game in there. There's just so many corners that have been cut. There are so many things that are unpolished. There are so many areas that are unoptimized. And I don't want to feel like this, Scott. I wish, there was a moment, man. I keep going back to it. There was a moment where I really thought I was going to come in on today and say, Scott, you were right. This game is incredible.
I wish.
And it just isn't in its totality.
And that's the thing I want to get across, is that almost like a buyer's beware kind of thing. Because I feel like with games like this, they put a really good foot forward and really good first impressions and really good initial vibes. I know that obviously the reaction to Gotham Knights overall from the critical response, people who have finished it a bit earlier, it wasn't that solid. But I feel like there were recommendable elements. And that's the whole reality of having such a mixed bag of a game. But it's just to put it out there that this game, for right now, does fall the F apart towards the end. I don't know how much they're going to patch, and I think the things that they might tweak will just be sheer performance stuff.
Yes.
They're not going to start varying up the boss battles. It will always have go fight five of the same thing. And maybe they tweak the damage amounts on the previous fight or something.
I hope so.
Because I feel like that's such a widespread thing anyway, that so many level-based games or level-gated stuff just makes every basic attack kill you in one.
Yeah.
And it's like, go grind forever to get past this thing, which is one of the worst realizations in any of these games.
Totally. And again, you might be there at home saying, Josh, it's only a handful of bosses that throw up these roadblocks. And I agree. It is impressive that they've managed to balance the rest of the game for the most part towards just one player. But that makes those moments stick out so much more. And those fights are such an arduous slog. And they should be capping off great side missions that they do stand out and they do impact the overall enjoyment. Speaking of the side missions, though, one final thing, and again, another thing that kind of makes me think the game just completely tailed off at the end, is there are only those three of them. There are only the Mr. Freeze, the Harley, and the Clayface side arcs. And for me, when I got into the final stages of this game, when I was doing story missions, when they were thrown me, you know, the mission to go and find those three bosses, it would have been offset if I had another major side mission to do alongside it.
Yes.
But the fact that they dried up so quickly, and Clayface especially is only like it's even short compared to the other two.
Right.
I just wish there was one or two more villain side quests that were properly tailored towards the end game, and it would have made it less of a slog to just do that kind of arbitrary crime fighting stuff in the open world if they were there.
Yeah, I feel like overall, I said this in the podcast, please go subscribe, but I feel like we're awaiting this sort of Bloomberg style, you know, behind the scenes reality of what happened, because it just feels like there are too many unanswered questions and too many messy executions of what, you know, you've got, kind of got one full picture over here for a single player Arkham follow up type thing, and one full picture over here for a live service multiplayer component thing, and they're kind of just crossing over Venn diagram style, but that middle is just so unclear, and parts of it work and parts that don't. The last video that we did, and it's almost indicative in this one as well, is that it's very hard to stay positive.
That's
like, it's one of those games where you think of a positive element for it and something else is alongside it, and we had that from the very beginning too, which is why I did a pinned comment just saying two men struggle to praise Gotham Knights for like 10 minutes or whatever, because it's just so all over the place. Would you like to put a star rating on it, sir?
If I'm going to have to put a star rating on it, it would be like 3 out of 5. Like, if 2.5 feels too harsh, but if I was doing that out of 10, it would be a high 6 or a low 7.
Okay.
That's what I would go with. And it's primarily down to those final few hours just kind of like dragging it down and the lack of substantial, in my eyes, end game content. Like, this is a game, again, I said it in the podcast, which you should definitely check out. It's a game that whose foundations I quite like, and I would really like to see a Gotham Knights 2 to see how they improve on it with the lessons that they've learned. Mm-hmm. It's just that Gotham Knights in and of itself right now, I could happily never play again. I had some, you know, side activities to mop up after I'd finished the campaign. Only like small things like challenges and whatnot. But once I was done with this, man, I just kind of felt You've made a very bad last impression here, and I'm kind of over it for now. But Gotham Knights 2, I will be interested in.
Okay, people do say like first impressions count for a lot, but I feel in gaming, last impressions, like if you're coming out of something with a sour taste after that much time invested, it's a bad feel. But yeah, I'll keep playing it, keep sticking with us, keep keeping up with the podcast and everything, and we'll do updated thoughts as we get through them. I'll resume my life after God of War, but we'll see how it goes. For now, though, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Did you pick up Gotham Knights? Are you waiting for maybe a 60 frames per second patch or something? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.